This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible and you'd like to turn with me to Galatians, the 6th chapter, I'm going to talk to you about what you have sown is what you have. You know, in our last series we talked about really what you, where you are is because of everything that you've done, the decisions you've made, the way you've acted, the way you've reacted. And so you are today where you are because of what you have, decisions you've made, choices you've made, and it's about adding to. You remember he said you add to your faith, virtue and or excellence, and then to excellence he said you'll knowledge and self-control and on, and it's about adding to in the last series. And today it's different in the fact that it's not about adding to, but it's about investing. It's about you have what you have because of what you've sown. And it's really important, isn't it? Every day we have opportunity to sow seeds, right? Every day. And so this is different in the fact that the other was adding to, and he said if you'll add all these things to your life, then you'll never stumble. And so this one is about giving, and today we're giving an offering to help another country in a place we've never been. People we don't know, and I thought it was pretty powerful this morning when Jan said, you know, she has relatives in Japan that she's lost touch with, and she don't know if her family is okay or not, and ask God's blessing on them, and ask that they would see Jesus in this. And I thought that was really, they're fortunate to have a Christ follower that has a heart like you have. But you were sowing seeds into your blood family. And every day we sow seeds into our families, good or bad. And then what happens is, all these things we sow, all of a sudden, and really when it talks about when we sow seeds, it's talking about whatever you scatter. Sometimes when I'm doing lawn work at my house, I'll use a little cranker thing that kind of spreads it more evenly. And sometimes I just reach in and get the fertilizer and throw it here. And usually when I do that, you can see green clumps, you know, where this clump got a little more than that one over there. And it's obvious, and it's when you see that this one received more. That's why it's greener. That's why, and when I lived on the farm, my cows would make a deposit. And everywhere they made a deposit throughout the pasture, you would see green places coming up because something had been sown. You know, I feed them feed and they get those nutrients and they return them to the ground and you see the difference in the grass because there's what's been scattered there and that's the harvest that's coming up. So everything that you have today, whether it's good or bad, what you have in your finances, what you have in your relationships, what you have in your health, what you have in, most of it's going to come as a result of what you and I have sown. You know, if we sow greasy hot dogs in our body quite often, how many knows we'll reap something? And it's really not a pretty picture, is it? But if we sow healthy stuff into our body, then we'll reap better things. We'll reap the benefits of a healthy body. Let's look at it in Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. And the word deceived means to cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue. Do not be deceived. Don't roam from safety, truth, or virtue. How many knows this is our truth? This is what we have to stand on. This is what we put all of our hope in. Do not roam from this truth that God has given us, because when we know the truth does what? Sets us free. So he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, Everybody say, whatever. Whatever. You know, whatever. Whatever you sow. Whatever you sow. How many's ever, you've got all hyped up and passionate about something that somebody was having an argument with somebody, and you scattered some seeds that really, you know, if you hadn't been all hyped up and excited, you wouldn't have sown those seeds. You ever been there? How many knows once you scatter those seeds, there's going to be a harvest? Because you've sown them. Now, what we say is, I wish I hadn't said that, or, you know, and we can apologize, but there's still that element there, isn't there? There's still that tear that's going to come up with the good stuff, even after we apologize. Because whoever was a recipient of what we just said, they're thinking stuff like, I can't believe you just said that to me. Have you ever thought that about somebody that said something to you? I can't believe you just said that. Thelma was sharing with us from some of her former church members and how they said something to her that she said they meant it, they said, for good, but it seemed condescending to her, and she said, I didn't respond real well. And we've all been there, haven't we? Somebody says something and we just reach in our bag and just scatter something out that we really wouldn't say if we were thinking about it and focused on it. And that's why we need to develop a life that says every seed I sow comes with intention. Let me ask you something. What do you want to learn? What do you want to be blessed with? Then you should say, whatever that is, we should say, I'm going to take seeds. Intentional seeds, I'm going to label them and I'm going to sow these because this is the desired picture that I want for my life. I love to see transformation because people sown good seeds and you see them transform. Bob and Gina, we were talking about you, me and my wife the other day, and I don't know if your ears were burning, but we were talking good stuff about you all. The transformation we see in you and the seeds you're sowing not only to your kids but your grandkid now, and I thought, isn't that something how you can just see I love that, don't you? To see transformation in people that come in and get a hold of the Word of God and you watch them begin to sow good things, and as they sow good things, transformation comes. Now here's what I'd like to say to you. Whatever you have in your life is a result of what you've sown. Think of anything in your life, any area of your life that you want to think. And what you have in these areas is a result of what you've sown. Good relationships, bad relationships. Good finances, bad finances. Good situation at work, bad situation at work. You change it, and you can change. And here's the good news. The good news is, if it's not what you want, if it's not what you pictured, it's not too late to change if you start sowing good seeds today. But how many knows if you want better than what you have in an area, you maybe want to check your seeds. What kind of seeds are you sowing? Are they pleasing to the Lord? What kind of fertilizer are you putting on your seed? And what kind of fertilizer, but what I mean is, what kind of motive do you have behind that seed? If it's love behind the seed, then that's good fertilizer, isn't it? No hidden agenda, no hidden motive. You're sowing good seed. So he says, whatever you sow, you shall also reap. And then he says in verse 8, for he who sows to the flesh, there's the fertilizer, there's the attitude, there's the intent. He that sows to the flesh, and that's meaning in the bad sense, to the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. They'll reap decay. That's what that word means. You got any things in your life that just kind of stinks? Probably because you've been sowing to the flesh. Anything that smells bad, it's not what you want. But he who sows to the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Everlasting life. Yesterday on the news, there was a family that a man went in and shot his wife and shot himself, and there's a nice home, there's nice automobiles, they're supposed to be celebrating a birthday party at their house, and had all kinds of stuff. So how many knows stuff is not what we're talking about necessarily here? You can have stuff, and if you don't sow good seeds in other areas, it can lead to to decay and ruin. Yesterday was an awful day for that family. Awful day. Because seeds of probably of discord and arguments and all had been sown, and the crop came up and the harvest came in yesterday. Awful, wouldn't it? It says, let us not grow weary. How many's ever just got tired of sowing good seeds and you can't see the harvest? It was so funny. Jen and I went to a little Chinese restaurant the other day, and my fortune cookie said, I'm going to come into unexpected finances. And the next day, the closing company called and said, we got some money over here for you. We've made a mistake. I called Jen. I said, see there? And then I got home and opened the envelope, somebody else, I forget who it was, sent me another check in the mail. I called her and said, see there? We're going back there tomorrow. We're going to eat there tomorrow. How many knows it's not about your fortune cookie? I give God the glory for catching mistakes and these companies sending me a check back that they'd overdone and over, you know. Because that's when you, and people, but we get into that, don't we? You know, like, oh, you know, look, my fortune cookie's dead. Well, you know, your fortune cookie it's not going to determine your harvest. What's going to determine our harvest is what the seeds that we sow. Today, everybody that got up early and came on out today, I mean, oh, that's good seed. You said, I don't care if it's an hour earlier, we're going to be at the house of God at the appointed time. See, that's good seed. And you will receive a harvest from that. It's just good seed because you're walking in obedience. That's a good seed you're sowing. You're walking in the commands of God and being a faithful and being here in your part. That's all good seed. Here's some more good seed. When your spouse, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, whoever it is, they're hateful and you just sow good seed back. That's good seed, isn't it? You don't get caught up in that. In fact, lately, I've noticed, you know, there's a few people I've noticed when you talk about if it's windy and you're talking about the windy weather or complaining about something, they always got something good to say. I thought, that's just good seed, isn't it? Coming back to your frame of mind. Let me ask you, where is your frame of mind? It's probably exactly, you have the frame of mind you have because of the seed you've been sowing that's produced the frame of mind that you have, good or bad. Kind of put it back where it belongs, right? And he says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, everybody say due season. I mean, those, if you go out and you plant your spring garden and you take care of it, in due season you're going to reap some good tomatoes and okra and onions. Whatever you put out, you're going to, you know, and whatever seed you sow, that's what you're going to bring back in and get to enjoy in just a few months. Yeah. It's not without a cost, is it? But it's there. Therefore, as we have opportunity, today to sow good seeds towards some of God's creation in Japan, let us do good to who? All. All. Don't matter if we can speak their language. Don't matter if we know them. Don't matter if they've got a need. And one of the, I think it was Jan saying this morning in our prayer meeting, she said that during the fire, her brother-in-law is a firefighter and said that, she said, I think it was Charlie's Bar in Choctaw took up an offering and fed the firefighters out there that was out there, bought them a whole bunch of pizzas and took out to them. I mean, that's good stuff. Don't matter if it comes from Charlie's Bar or, you know, wherever it came from. That's good stuff. And so we give praise for them sowing good seeds and blessings as they have opportunity, huh? Yeah. It says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, I don't want to change the direction here, but how many knows where this is brought in from? We never think about it, but one of the areas of sowing, it says in verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And so for those that have given their life to teaching and preaching and and all, he said they should be paid for that. And then he goes into this, don't be deceived. But this is a universal law that God has set up. Whatever you sow, I mean, has ever watched a, just really somebody that's, as far as a person, just kind of a sorry person, but they do real well financially. You ever seen that? And you're always looking for the end to come. Maybe it won't come because they're sowing to this financial thing. And if it doesn't matter if you're a ranked sinner or you're a Christian, and if you're sowing faithfully to financial stewardship, then you're going to reap the benefits. That's a universal law that God put in. So their well may never run dry until they stand before God. And if they've neglected to give where God said, then it'll all be taken away. I never forget a guy, a story I heard about a rich man that had given millions and millions of dollars away in charity. And when the stock market fell and things were going really tough, he was asked by a reporter, "How do you feel now about all that seed that you've sown out there and give millions of dollars away, and now that the market's down and most of your wealth is gone, how do you feel about that?" And I thought it was a brilliant answer. He said, "You know what? I didn't lose one penny of that which I gave away. I only lost of that which I kept." Wow. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? And that's the way you and I ought to feel when we give. I went around to a little cafe this last week and had breakfast. I'll do that sometimes, take me a book and just sit there and I'll read and have a little coffee and stuff and just change of atmosphere really and study. And so I was there and I saw one of our former members came in. Hadn't seen him in a long time, and so we're sitting there catching up on our families and how we're doing. And he had a little, one of his grandson with him named Chad. And Chad, he said, was about 15 years old, and Chad has Down syndrome. But he's just a happy kid, you know, and he said, "I take Chad over all around the country. He's been to California and named all these places where he's been, and he speaks to like police departments and all these sort of things." I said, "Chad, what do you speak about?" And he said, "I speak about Special Olympics." He said, "I love to speak about Special Olympics." I thought, well, maybe we'll have him here sometime, you know, before, and have him speak to us. He's just a great kid, and I was bragging on him for using his gifts for the Lord, and we was high-fiving, and he gave me a hug before he left. And as we sit there, this gentleman, the former member, he says to me, he says, "My other five grandsons," he said, "they're not worth killing, you know." He said they always have their hands stuck out and always wanting me to give them money. And he said, I asked him, he said, "I said, what are you going to do whenever I die? The well dries up." And so I don't know what he was looking for, but I said, "When are you going to change the situation?" Listen, this is the way we are as Americans. We sow bad seeds and then we gripe about our harvest. Selah. Now, he's got good soil, right? I mean, your grandchildren, that's good soil to plant into, right? That's good soil. But here he is, he's planting in their life. What he's planting is he's handing a handout. That's what he's planting. He's just reaching in his wallet for no reason, just because they got their hand out, and he's planting seeds that, you know, teaching the kids that you don't have to do anything just because you belong to me. I just bless you. You don't have to, you just ask and you get whatever, you know, just ask me and guilt me or whatever, but I'll give you something. So he's planting bad seed into good soil. And then he's griping about it. And so he looked at me and he said, "Well, I guess I ought to do something about it." Well, he is doing something, but he's griping about it. How many knows the difference between giving a hand out and a hand up? Like Chad, the one that's got the Down syndrome. He's helping him because he's helping thousands of other kids or hundreds of other kids, whatever it is, and he helps put this on at OSU, the Special Olympics up there. And so he helps him. He provides transportation. He provides money and resources to help him travel and promote something that's God-honoring. And the others that are home that do nothing with their handout, he's helping them promote what? Nothing. and then griping about it. So let me ask you something this morning. What are you griping about in your life? Them lazy kids of mine? Well, let me ask you that. Where did they come up with that laziness? How much have you helped them? There comes a time, parents, when we're, and I know this is probably not what you thought about when we were talking about starting with reaping and sowing, but I just see this as a big problem in our country. At any stage, there's I talk to people like this all the time that they're griping about my kids won't work, my grandkids won't do, my this won't work, and they've always got their hand out. Well, just don't put seed in it. When they come and they're not doing anything and they're being bad stewards and they've got themselves in a mess, say, let's pray. You need some wisdom. You don't need my money to put a Band-Aid on your problem. You need wisdom. Let's pray. Because you're not getting any money out of me. I've worked hard for mine and I'm being a good steward over mine and I'm planting good seeds. And so let's pray for you that you can start doing that so you can reap a harvest that you want. Let's look at a picture. What kind of picture can you see that you want? Well, let's start with a picture. Let's help them define the picture. And then once they get the picture, okay, now what kind of seeds do you need to start planting if you want that kind of picture? I think sometimes we have to hand them seeds that says, you know what? Here's your seed. You can live in the ghetto if you want to. Hello? Just keep spinning the way you're spinning. Just keep doing what you're doing. You'll get there quicker than you think. Or if you'll plant some good seeds, and let me show you, I'll help you how to. If you'll show me some progress, I'll help you get there. I'm talking about good seeds. If we got bad crop, griping. How many knows griping doesn't bring up a fourth of harvest? No more than fortune cookies do. I tell you something else. Good intentions doesn't bring forth a harvest. You know, I've been intending to. Well, you'll never have a harvest. I'll never have a harvest as long as I'm just intending to do something. Good intentions won't bring a harvest. And I tell you something else that'll bring a harvest is neglect. When we neglect to do the things we need to do, you know, I thought when I moved over to where the house we just sold, it has a small yard. And so, first year I kind of kept it up. Jan says, why don't you hire somebody to do that? You know, it didn't look as, but it's kind of rough yard when we bought it. And I said, okay, so the second year I hired somebody and they got rid of most of the weeds. The third year, whatever, I thought I'm going to do it again. You know, it's a small yard, won't cost as much. And I thought, this is such a small yard that if I have weeds, I can go out and pick them in no time. Here's my harvest. Oh my gosh. How much weeds can one little yard produce? Well, here's the answer. One little yard can produce a whole lot of weeds if you don't know what you're doing. And I tried to stay on top of it with pre-emerge and all that stuff, but I don't know what I'm doing in that area. And so we have weeds. We had weeds. The new owner, they inherited weeds that I left. Because I didn't know. I thought, you know, I could keep it under control, but I'm telling you, you got to know what kind of seeds to plant. And here's the thing: if you're not getting back what you want in areas and what you have and what you produce, look at your seed. And if you don't know what kind of seeds you need to plant, find somebody that knows what kind of seeds to plant, knows what kind of spray to use. I want to show you an example. Go with me to 1 Samuel, the second chapter. Such a sad story, but I just want you to see, because God gives us a very vivid and clear picture of what sowing bad seeds, or seeds of neglect probably, I think there's both in this story, but what they look like and how sad it is. And it's through the prophet of the day. I mean, this is he's the head prophet, and God is still speaking to him. God is still doing things in and through Eli, but I just want you to see what can happen in a Christian setting, because, you know, I don't want us to feel weird, that we have, we've sown these bad seeds and think, well, God doesn't love us, or, you know, have that kind of attitude. Because how many knows God loves us, period. Just like you love your children or your family. God, you know, even the ones that are stupid, you love them, right? Or do stupid things. You know, just, you know, like get into drugs or get into, you know, affairs and all that kind of, you know, we love them anyway, right? But you hate the stupid stuff, you know. But and so God loves us. But I want to show you a picture of how important it is to not neglect to sow the seeds that needs to be sown. In 1 Samuel, you know, that in the first chapter or two there, the little Samuel is brought, and that's why it's called Samuel. Hannah cannot have children, and she prays, and she's taunted by her wife-in-law, whatever you call them, you know, and so she can't have children, and she's it's just eating her up. And so she goes before Eli. Eli thinks she's been drinking because he sees her mouth moving. How many pray like that? You just, oh, you move that. And you don't say anything. And he thought she was drunk. And so he's saying, you know, what are you doing drinking this early? And she says, oh, no. And she shares this burden with him about not having children. And so he's still speaking life and still doing what God has called him to do. The gifts and the calling of God is without repentance. And if you ever see somebody that's kind of, you think they're a crook, you think they're, and you see them speak life into something, that's what it is. That used to just floor me for years. I think, how can this person, because I know their background, I know what they, you know, they were living in sin in certain areas and just, you know, pretty blatant about it, and then get up and minister life and move crowds. And I thought, how they, and it wasn't just charismatic, it was that gift that God had given them, in spite of them, in spite of their sin, could still move through the vessel. Now, you may not agree with that, but I'm telling you, I've seen it operate. The gifts and the call of God is without repentance is irrevocable. And so he's still operating in gifts here, but the neglect in his family. And it doesn't mention Miss Eli. And I tell you, sometimes if you had to grow up without a mother, I'm sure that's a how many knows most of the time your mother's the one that's a nurturing person. A lot more nurturing than dads are. And so it doesn't mention these boys' mother. Eli's wife. So I'm not sure if something happened to her or what. But in verse 12 it said, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. And listen to this. This is the priest of the. He's the one that's over everything. This is the top priest, chief priest. They were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. Isn't that a sad report? They did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom, now, not knowing the Lord is one thing, but watch this. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take it for himself. All the flesh hook brought up, so they did in Shiloh and all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give me the meat for roasting to the priest. And he says, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. And it says, if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, and look at the attitude of this person, then you may take as much as your heart desires. That's a good attitude, isn't it? It's just, let's do this right. In Leviticus, just to kind of set this for you, in Leviticus 3:17, it said it's a permanent law throughout your land that you shall not eat fat nor blood. Now, for you that like a ribeye, we're under the new covenant. Boy, y'all shout more on that than you do regular priests. And then Levi 7:25, it said, whoever eats the fat of an offering will be cut off from their people. And this is what they're practicing on a daily basis. This is what they're sowing to. And they think that, you know what, I'll do whatever I want. This is a sacrificial thing. I'm the authority here, and I'll do as I please. And that's what they did for a season. How many knows you can plant bad seeds for a season, but you are going to produce a crop eventually? And when you see people that sowing bad seeds and you think, why is God doing anything? God is doing something. It's a universal law God set in motion. And you can just rest assured that if I'm sowing bad seeds or you're sowing bad seeds, it's going to come. The harvest will come in. I heard Paul Crouch say one time, he said, when I was a young kid, I used to sow wild oats and pray for crop failure. I mean, it ain't happening. Whatever a man sows. And so here they are, and they're taking it by force. And look at the bad report. This is, you know, it's such a sad picture. Verse 17, therefore the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord. And it says, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. It'd be like coming in and you just saying, I hate the offering part of church because of what it stands for. Isn't that a sad testimony? They abhorred it because of what they've done. Now, watch this, though. Verse 18. In the midst of all this evil, of these seeds, terrible seeds being sown, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up and with her husband to offer a yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, and the Lord, saying, the Lord give you descendants from this young woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. And then they would go to their own home. It's the picture of blessing right in the midst of corruption. You know, have you ever had a try to be giving a witness to someone, and they say, I don't go to church because of all those hypocrites up there? I've heard that a lot in my witnessing day. All those hypocrites up there. You know what I always tell them? I always tell them, you know what? I'm sure there's hypocrites in every church. But I'd hate to think that a hypocrite had more than I have. I'm not going to let a hypocrite run me out of my chair. Because I have more of the Lord than that. Isn't that a flimsy excuse for not coming to the house of God? Do you ever have one of them say, I'm not going to eat anymore, out to eat anymore, because there's hypocrites all in those restaurants. I'm not going to work anymore because there's hypocrites all over my office. It's a flimsy excuse, isn't it? You know. Sowing seeds. I'm talking about sowing seeds. But right in the middle, and you know what this reminded me of? It reminded me of Matthew 13 where he says, you know what, there's going to be some wheat and there's going to be some tares. The enemy is going to come and sow tares right in the midst of it. And he says, well, should we go pull up the tares? He said, don't mess with it right now because you'll pull up some of the roots. You'll damage the good stuff. And this is what that reminds me of. A picture of sowing was there's some good seed sown right in the midst of all this evil. And so don't ever let the devil tell you you can't live for God. It doesn't matter where you are and who's around you. You just keep sowing good seeds and watch your harvest come up. And by the way, I have proven this scripture before when I'd let my garden, my flower garden and stuff get infested with weeds, and I'd try to go up and pull all the weeds and not damage the plant. And every time the one that was next to it and surrounded by it, every time that you wake up the next morning, it's kind of drooping over. It's just looking like that was tough. And I hadn't touched it on the surface, but pulling the roots up, it's taking part of that out. And so the Bible is just true, isn't it? If you let it get so bad. Can I tell you something else? Here's a good story about that. One of my friends, one time, he had a garden, and he had these little round cherry tomatoes, and he gave me some and at work. And he said, why don't you come out, man? I've got so many, I can't pick any more. I'm just giving them away. And why don't you just come out, and I'll give you all the cherry tomatoes you want, little round tomatoes. And I said, I love them. So we come out. And so I went out to his place, and he's got an acreage, and we walked out in Johnson grass about this high. And we're walking through Johnson grass, and I said, where's your garden? He said, we're just about there. I mean, really? We're walking, and I can't even see tomatoes. And all of a sudden, we just walk up like Randy said, and there they are. And then you'd walk over here, and here's another plant. There they are, in Johnson grass over their head. And they're just standing, they're just loaded with fruit everywhere. In fact, I picked all I wanted and I had to leave. I couldn't make a dent in them either. And I thought, isn't that something how these little cherry tomatoes, and you know what they're doing? They're saying, you know what? God has given me rain and I'm going to get my part. I'm producing my tomatoes, and if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, God's going to supply. And they're sitting there with all this weeds around them, outnumbered, just producing like crazy. But they didn't say, oh, you know, if it wasn't for all this Johnson grass, I'd really produce. They just kept sucking up the moisture. They just kept taking it in and producing it out. Because that's what God called them to do. A tomato. How many can be tough as a tomato? Come on, let me see. Yeah. So I know you can. I know you can. But little Samuel, that's what it reminded me of when I read this. I thought, here he is in the midst of all this corruption, and here his mother comes and she's just... And let me tell you something, moms, never underestimate the power of you sowing love in your children. Never underestimate that. Even when they've been ornery and when they fail, never underestimate the power that you have to sow in love into your children. Now, here's the thing. Remember, you don't sow bad seeds into your good children, right? Remember the grandpa that was ragging on his five lazy grandsons? They won't do nothing. They always want money. Now, I'm always giving them money. Huh? Don't be that kind. Don't sow bad seed in the good soil. What they need is some good seeds to say, you know what, I don't give to lazy people. That's a good seed, isn't it, for a lazy person? I don't give to just be given. There are occasions when we might want to bless one of them because it's time to bless them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about on a consistent basis. We just won't want to... You know those people that stand there with their sign on the corner? There's a couple down on my end of town, and they'll switch corners. It's a man and a woman. They'll switch. And he's got some kind of scripture written on there. And I think, you know, I wonder if he ever read the scripture about if you don't work, you don't eat. And if you got the strength to stand on the corner with your sign and try to sow guilt into my life, you got enough strength to go down to Walmart and say, "Welcome to Walmart." And I don't have much pity because I know what the Bible said. The Bible says if you want to sow seeds of laziness, you can reap lack in your life. And so I don't have much. And I don't know their whole story, and I don't want to criticize them. But, you know, if you just want to hold a sign and don't want to work, go down to the Jesus house. They'll feed you down there. But quit guilt. But here's what they want. They want to, and by the way, if you want to sow under compulsion, you can. But the Bible says if you sow under compulsion, you're not going to reap a harvest. See, giving to Japan is not sowing under compulsion. That's reaching out compassion to our brothers that they had no opportunity to evade what just happened. But here he is, and he's and little Samuel's doing well. There's blessing being spoken. He's being blessed in the midst of all this terrible dark family that he's around. And it said in verse 21, "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters." See, she's still being blessed. She's sown one child to the Lord. And don't you know, if it was mothers, that would be tough. Can you imagine having a child up to like 3 or 4 years old and you wean the child and you take him and you drop him off at a place like this with men like this? Can you imagine that when she's... How many tears she must have cried as she drove off. But she planted that seed that she told the Lord, "I will plant." And how many knows that he said, when you make a vow, it's better to go ahead and plant that and make sure it's planted instead of breaking that vow. Because he said, you don't want to go there. You don't get into that and reap that kind of a harvest. But so he blesses her. Now watch this again in verse 22. "Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all of Israel, and how they lay with their women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting." So they're not only taking and eating the fat of the and breaking that command that God said should never be done, but now they're in they're having affairs with the ladies that's coming to the temple. So he said to them, now watch what he does. He said to them, "Why do you do such things?" Well, how many knows if he's the high priest, he ought to know why they're doing such things. He says, "For I hear your evil dealings with all the people. No, my sons, for it's not good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. Now, I don't know the life of Eli, but this is the harvest from his children. And I can tell you one or two things. He either didn't sow the seeds, it was either neglect, or he sowed bad seeds. He was like this grandpa that just kept giving them blessing when they're living in the midst of a mess. Listen, you'll never see anybody that you can help if they don't come out of their mess. You can bless them all you want to, but you bless them in the mess, all you get to do is go in the mess with them. And I'm not being hard. I'm just trying to say, when you wonder why your bank account's low and here's what I've seen happen. A lot of parents, grandparents, whoever it is, that keep sowing into this stuff because they feel sorry for, and how many knows that's not good soil when we're feeling sorry for somebody that's in a mess that won't change. Here's what I've seen. Here's the harvest. The harvest is they don't get better, they get worse because they think somebody's going to support my habit. And then the other side is the people that's doing the giving wind up just kind of hating the individuals. They really can't despise them because they've just sucked all the life and all the money out of me. And that is the harvest that's produced. That's the harvest that's produced. And there's either neglect or just bad seeds of him keeping sowing blessing in his sons and not saying anything. There comes a time when Eli should have looked at his young sons and see, he said, you know what, you can either do this and be a, or you can be a priest, but you can't do both. I think I told you the story when we went to Lynchburg, Tennessee, and Jack Daniels was the man that showed him how to make whiskey was a preacher. And when he started selling this stuff and it got really popular, the preacher's wife, praise the Lord, said to him, you either need to preach or sell whiskey, but you don't need to do both. And so he sold out to Jack Daniels and preached the Word of God. And he should have said at some time, you can either live like this or you can be a priest, but you can't do both. You get to choose. When I have conversations with families and their children are grown now and they won't get out of the house and they won't work, I said, you know what? You have to set boundaries. You have to begin to plant some seeds and say, here's what we do. Here's the seeds we sow. We work here. If you don't want to work, we'll find you a place to live. Now I'm going to give you some time here. I'm going to work with you, but I need some proof. I need some proof, you know. And you work. Because if you don't work with them, how many knows you live with them? Okay. I know it's a hard situation. Now watch this. And the child Samuel grew in stature and favor with both the Lord and men. Here he is. They're getting more corrupt and he's getting more favor. I love this because he's sowing seeds to the Lord. It's not about what's around you. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's not about what the economy. It's not about the Dow Jones up or down. It's about sowing blessings to the Lord so we can reap the life we want. I mean, knows he's got a peace that passes understanding, but you got to sow to the goodness of God. Said then the man of God came to Eli. Now here it goes back to the tares. Then the man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord." If Eli won't say it, God sends somebody else in to say it. He says, "Did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offerings, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me?" How many knows God won't set second fiddle to anybody? You honor your sons more than me. To make yourself fat with the best of the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. I made you a blessing, but watch this. But now the Lord says, and by the way, somebody's saying God can never lie and God can never, you know, change his mind and all this stuff. He said, I told you this is going to be here forever, but it's not anymore. I mean, those are conditions on God's promises. Whosoever believes in the Lord shall be saved. If you confess. Huh? But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you shall see an enemy in my dwelling place. You shall see an enemy in my dwelling place. Despite all the good which God does for Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. There's the harvest. There's the harvest. But any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. Let me tell you something. There's America. Parents that won't sow good seeds into their children and say, you know what, you're sowing in a bad area and I'm not going to partake in it. Here's the payoff. Here's the harvest. He said, okay, if you don't want to help your children and sow some seeds of love, tough love that needs to be, he said, you know what? They shall consume your eyes. In other words, what you see, you won't like, and they'll grieve your heart. There's the harvest. And I see that all the time. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be the sign to you that you will come upon your that will come upon your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Both of them. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest. Guess who's getting to be his faithful priest? Little Samuel that grew up in the midst of mess. I mean, just, you know, don't raise your hand, but some of you here, I know, I've heard your stories, and some of you grown up in the midst of mess. I've had people tell you, I envy your childhood, because I always say I grew up an Opie Taylor life, you know. Good mom, good dad, little small town, all that kind of stuff. But you know what? It doesn't matter. If you grew up in a terrible place like Samuel, what matters is just sowing good seeds where you are. And he says, I'm going to raise up for myself a faithful priest, a guy that was sowing good seeds right in the midst of all this corruption everywhere around him, to a leader that won't do anything about the corruption that's going on around him, and yet he sowed good seeds every day, and God's going to raise him up and make him the chief priest. Who shall do according to what is my heart and my mind, I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. Now, I want to look at the last piece of the harvest and go over to chapter 4. In chapter 4, such a sad, but here's the harvest of not sowing the seeds that need to be sown or seeds of neglect. Watch the harvest. So the Philistines and the Israelites are fighting and war is going out, and they've been defeated, and they bring in the Ark of the Covenant, and they're thinking this is gonna be their savior, and it's not. Kind of like objects of worship, whether it's a cross you carry or whatever it is. I mean, there's no power in that. There's only power in obedience. So the Philistines fought. Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also, the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons, Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, died. And then, guess what? They have a man that runs back to Eli, and it says in verse 16, then the man came to Eli, I am who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened to my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled from before the Philistines. There has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark has been captured. Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for the man was old and heavy. He had judged Israel for 40 years. So him and his sons died on the same day, after 30,000 Israelites had been killed because of corrupt leadership. Sowing seeds of corruption. Here's the decay. Here's the harvest. When you scatter bad seeds, here's the harvest. Now watch this. and the final blow. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child due to be delivered, and when she heard the news that the ark was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about that time of her death, so she's going to die at childbirth, the women who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel," because the ark of God had been captured, and because her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." And so her son, Phinehas' son, and let me tell you something, when you and I sow corruption, it never only affects us. It's going to affect all of our children and all the people around us that love us in some manner, in some fashion, when we sow bad seeds. And then the name of the son was "The Glory's Departed." This is the harvest of a Christian man or a God-fearing man that didn't sow right seeds. So it's important. Because whatever we sow, that she will also reap. Let me tell you something. Let me encourage you, because I know this is kind of a depressing story, but I just seen it so much in our country, I thought, I need to talk about this. And we need to have the courage, and I want to pray for you, to have the courage to say what needs to be said, to sow the right seeds into our kids and our grandkids that need to be sown. We need that in America.